Looks like we got this resolved. It looks like we have pivoted to using the main Reese's Senior Bowl account. So we appreciate that. We appreciate your flexibility over there. So, Jim, we got you now.
Yeah, you got me, guys. There's something wrong with my phone when it comes to these Twitter spaces, because we're doing this in the fall a little bit with Rhett Kleinschmidt at the NFL Network, and for some reason we hit a patch where I just couldn't even get through, so we stopped doing them. So same issue arose tonight, and thank God Dave Rogers got me set up on his phone and the Senior Bowl account. So appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, absolutely. We're great to have you. And we totally relate to technical difficulties using Twitter Spaces. One of our guys, SRS, he lost all access to the to being able to even host it midway through last night's Twitter space. So we feel you there. So, you know, obviously we're getting closer to the game. How busy is it getting over there? We saw tweets of all of the equipment that's arriving. How much equipment do you guys get in that office?
Yeah. If you walked in the headquarters here, the first floor, we've got all the player equipment downstairs for our game. We've got all the Nike gear came in for the HBCU Combine event that we're having with the NFL, the National Football League. We're hosting an event down here for the HBCU guys. We've got different sponsor gifts and committee. We've got a quarterback club here in Mobile, it's a mess. I'll leave it at that. It's a mess.
I can imagine starting to smell like a locker room too.
And that's a good smell though. We like that around here. It makes it feel real. Like that's one of my favorite things of the year is when the player bags start coming in, because it finally starts to smell like a locker room and feel like real football around here.
So now I'm curious, with all this equipment coming in, exactly how many Reese's are actually coming in with all of that equipment?
We do get 2 400-pound pallets delivered a year. So we get 800 pounds of candy delivered over the course of a year. And it's not just Reese's. So that was, when I got the job 4 years ago, that was one of the coolest discoveries, is that the Hershey Company made Twizzlers, and they made Rolos, and they made Jolly Ranchers, and Kit Kat. So it's not just Reese's cups. It's everything. And, in long days like this, when you've had a long one, you go down and dip into the candy closet, it's always a good thing.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that they are not skimping out on any of that 800 pounds that's coming in. It's going to be the finest chocolate that they can offer.
Well, it's good stuff, and it helps on Halloween as well. We're kind of the kids' favorite house in the neighborhood, because you're getting full size candy bars when you come by our place. So,
absolutely.
Well, let's go ahead and get the question that everybody has in the very front of their minds out of the way here. What's your favorite version of a Reese's cup?
Yeah, probably the footballs. We just had a bunch of those come in. So the Reese's footballs are cool. The Christmas trees are cool. But I like the normal cups. They've got the white chocolate cups and all the different variations. I'm just a standard Reese's peanut butter cup guy.
So I want to ask you a quick question. And you mentioned it. This is the first year you guys are sort of – is it co-hosting with the NFL, the HBCU Combine, that's going to be – I believe the weekend before the game.
Yeah, this is year one. Yep, this is the inaugural event.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the league was going to host one in Miami at the Dolphins Complex a couple springs ago, spring of 2020, at the end of the month, and then COVID hit and got it wiped out. And I called Troy Vincent at the league office and pitched him as Mobile being the host city for the event, and why I thought that made a lot of sense. You know, we're kind of right here in the heart of HBCU country, and rather than have the event at the end of March, let's do it at the end of January and allow these players to really gain traction in the draft process if we have it earlier. From a logistical standpoint, from a team's perspective, if you got a workout warrior that pops up on the pro day season, well, then you got to get a position coach dispatched and out on the road to go see the player and work him out and, get him on the board and do all that stuff. So, like late March is kind of, it's getting late in the game. So, thankfully, Troy and everyone at the league office got on board. We're excited about hosting this with them. They've been awesome. You know, we've been working on it now for months and months. So just excited to get these young guys down here and let them show their stuff. And more importantly than the workout stuff, I'll say this from like a scouting perspective. When you're talking about guys that are going to be, you know, probably late round picks or priority free agent level players, and this applies to kids at any school, not just HBCUs, but when you're a scout and you're going to the April draft meetings, and you're talking about a guy at that level, they got to be built to something special to really defy the odds. And, without connecting with these players and really getting a chance to interview them, which most teams don't because there's, you know, most of these HBCU schools don't have pro days. It makes it hard. You know, you got to really defy the odds as a late round pick or free agent to beat out those higher drafted players. So, this will help those guys. This will create more opportunities, even if it's just as priority free agents. This will get more guys in the building and give them a chance, because just spending time with the 32 teams down here and telling their stories and where they came from and adversity they'd handled in life, it'll get guys on board. It'll get teams more convicted about these players. And it's going to be a huge benefit. We're really excited that this is the first year, and already excited about what this thing could be down the road.
You know, I am curious. You mentioned some of the things that'll happen off the field that helps a player's draft stock. And I'm kind of curious to know, what are some of the things that happen off the field to help do that? Is that necessarily interviews? Is that interactions? Is that workouts? What exactly happens off the field for those guys who are going to go in some of the later rounds? Because if you look at a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau or someone else like that, there's not a question of, oh, this guy's going to be a top 10 draft pick. But for those later guys who are trying to prove we're worthy of this fifth round draft pick, we're worthy of getting that contract as a free agent, what separates them during this week to get into that consideration?
Well, it's all the things that make up a football player. It's the attention to detail at practice. It's the competitiveness. It's the aggression. It's the mental toughness. I know a lot of people love Senior Bowl one-on-one periods with the offensive and defensive line. So, they take two reps back-to-back against the same player. So you're seeing a guy, who might get his butt whipped on rep one and how he bounces back rep two. There's those little things. It's pre-practice, like who's coming out early, who's really down here with a business mindset. Bring it back a couple years ago, like Deebo Samuel came down here, and the minute Deebo got off the bus, like, he was so locked in. This was a business trip for Deebo, and that's why he took full advantage of the week. He helped himself a ton. But then, the interviews are a big part. I think that from a team's perspective, in my 18 years in the league, I always liked the Senior Bowl interviews better than the Combine or a Pro Day, because you felt like you were meeting more of the real person. These guys do get coached up quite a bit on how to answer certain questions, and to me, the best interviews are when you deal with the real player. I think that the worst ones are when these guys are overly rehearsed and it's obvious. You just want them to be genuine and who they are. So the interview process is huge. I think watching these guys, the dynamics with teammates, whether that be on the practice field or behind the scenes at different events we have, and how they interact with teammates is a huge, indication of what kind of team orientation they might have moving forward. So if you come down here, if teams come down here with their ears open and their eyes open, there's tons of great takeaways, that aren't going to show up on the tape per se.
You came into this role in 2018 after, almost two decades working in various scouting roles in the NFL. How did that frame your approach to playing the role of executive director, playing the role, not like you're an actor, but fulfilling that role and moving forward and kind of putting your own take on how the Senior Bowl approaches business?
Well, yeah, I know it's been a challenge. It's been a fun challenge. And I credit our chairman and our board for really, allowing us to really push forward with the vision. This has been a great game for a long time. It really has, but there's, whenever you take something over, you there's things you think you can improve on. So, one of those things was building a scouting staff of former NFL players. We do that every year. We start with a new staff. of guys or ladies that have been let go the year before, and keep them in it for a year, keep them in a cycle and see if they can bounce back, help them out. Like this year's staff, we had seven scouts around the country with 120 years of experience, and that, you know, to build a department that way, I'm used to working as part of a team. It makes it fun. You've got experienced evaluators on the road, and not only do they know what they're looking at on tape and at games when they go to, they're also very well connected, both at the college level and the areas that they live in from years and years on the road at those schools, but it also with the other scouts in that part of the country. So, you know, those relationships are really critical. So doing those types of things with the football staff, I mean, that's been a lot of fun. What the NFL life doesn't prepare you for is all the other stuff, like stuff we're doing right now. As a scout, you don't have a lot of media exposure. You're never seen, you're just kind of, out on the road doing your thing, watching practice and going, watching tape and writing reports every night at a hotel. So, you know, the media part, just the whole business side, managing people in an office, public speaking, there's just sponsorships. I mean, there's a lot of tentacles to this job that working in the scouting capacity does not prepare you for. So, again, I've got a great team, guys. Like there's so much work being done right now in the office on all the different events. The staff is totally kicking butt on so many different fronts, getting ready for this game. And our scouting staff and our football staff did that all year with the roster. But, there's so much more to just the football part. Include things we do in the community here around. I mean, our staff does a tremendous job. So, I know I'll cut myself off. I'm being long winded, but, there's a lot of things that carry over on the football side, but, this is a much bigger job than just the football part of it.
Oh, I can certainly imagine. And especially with the kind of impact that you have, not just with helping these guys get into a better draft position, but I'm sure that even the economic impact to Alabama, that when you guys are throwing this game together, the ability to have that much commercial interest certainly has to play a huge role in a game like this.
Yeah, that's a big responsibility. It really is. Like I see this role where I'm kind of a steward to the National Football League and the GMs. I always had a ton of respect for guys that sat in the GM chair and the job, the enormity of the job they have and how difficult it is. So everything we do from a football perspective, any decision we make here, you know, any plan we have is with those 32 guys in mind, and those decision-making crews. And then I'm also feel like I'm a steward to the city of Mobile. This is a huge part of our community. It's our 73rd game this year. It's kind of the fabric of our city. And, you know, the last time we did an economic impact study was 2016, and the game brought over $32 million to our local economy, and the game's grown.
Wow.
The game's grown exponentially since then. So, no, I mean, without doing a study, we got to be well north of $40 million for this city. So it means everything. It means everything to our city. I think if you go to other All-Star games, the difference is, I mean, this city, we have 400 volunteer committee members that help pull this thing off, and kids get raised around this game. It means something here. It really means something to our community. And there's a lot of responsibility there. That's why we've framed everything. The draft starts in Mobile. This game should be synonymous with the city and the community, because it means so much. It means so much to the people down here.
Oh, yeah. And when you just look at the week that you guys have over around the Senior Bowl, everything from the street party to the Mardi Gras player parade, there's so many ways that this bowl has integrated itself inside of Mobile. I can't imagine the kind of impact and the similarities that when people think of Mobile, they think of the Senior Bowl, especially with that kind of legacy that y'all have had there.
Yeah, you know, and the parade's been a lot of fun. The concert that we have after it this year, we're having Portugal the Man play the concert downtown. They've got kind of a cool, funky vibe. Like our city's got kind of a funky vibe to it, which is a good match. But yeah, those were things that you know, I went up to the draft in Nashville as part of the ESPN crew, whatever that was, 4 years ago, and just saw what Nashville did for the draft, and it wasn't like anything earth shattering. It was adult beverages and live music. And Nashville just blew it out. They did an awesome job. And I feel like, you know, our event itself is a better event in terms of, you know, the practices and getting right down there if you're a real football fan and being able to walk up and down, you know, Dolphin Street here in Mobile, our main drag where often our headquarters are, and going into a bar and seeing, you know, three or four head coaches sit at a bar drinking beer together. Like, that's, you know, most people don't get that. They see these people on TV. You know, down here in Mobile, we've got over 900 credentialed NFL people, and the whole NFL world kind of descends on our city for the week. So to have a Mardi Gras parade, to have the concerts, like, those were things that just really should happen. You know, we've made them happen, and it's been a really nice addition to the week. We haven't done a great job of really marketing to fans over the years. I really want to do a better job of that, letting them know, like, if you come down to Mobile, like, what you'll experience. I think people that come down will always come back, because it really truly is. If you love football and if you love the NFL, this is the week for you, and we just need to keep pushing that, because it is it's a really cool experience. I know I sound very biased sitting in the chair that I'm sitting in now, but it's easy for me to sell, because I truly believe in this game and just what this event, you know, can be for fans. We just need to let them know that.
Jim, kind of a follow up on that. You know, the Senior Bowl's in a very unique position, because compared to all the other games that we have throughout the season, this is the one that is really focused on showcasing and uplifting all of the players from so many different teams that come in and trying to help them better their careers. And you're bringing in tons of scouts, tons of journalists to cover them. But at the same time, it's also the kind of the last gasp for us college football addicts to really get to see that product on screen and to enjoy everything that's involved with it. And obviously for the people who are local, being able to participate in all the activities. How do you and your staff go about managing those two responsibilities, both for the fans and for the NFL, and making the decisions of, you know, we need to give the players time to kind of gel and become cohesive as teams and learn, you know, their playbooks and everything together, but at the same time put them in positions to where they can showcase themselves in front of the scouts and also, you know, create this environment for the local fans and to create the on-screen product that you're going to show to all of us fans who are watching at home.
Yeah, it's a great question. I consider myself a college football fan too. I love it. You know, I think growing up I was more of an NFL guy. But just being on the road as a college scout for, like you said, a couple decades now, I'm 25 years into this thing. It's just being out at a college stadium is just different. I love the college game. Love the NFL too, but I just love the pageantry around the college game. But yeah, there's a balance, but everything we do is really focused on the players. And putting them in a position where they can have their best week. So, you know, they are going to be, it's a stressful week. It is. I mean, they're down here, they're learning an NFL playbook. They're getting on the same, trying to get on the same page with new teammates for the first time. So there's a lot that goes into the week. There's a lot of study. There's a lot of meeting time, a lot of interviews. So it is a stressful week. Some of the things we've done in the community, like Friday's always our big community service day. We'll go to local children's hospitals. We'll go to, you know, Feeding the Gulf Coast, which is our big food bank. You know, we'll go to elementary schools and the guys will read to kids. Like, but it's the best day. Like, the guys that can finally exhale, that have been through the week, game day's the next day. Community service day is always our guys' favorite. So to add the Mardi Gras parade in at night, I was a little leery the first year when we did it a couple years ago. And I literally, at the end of the parade route, I think I stopped every single player because they marched by position group. I kind of ran around and, like, thanked every kid on behalf of every player on behalf of the city of Mobile. And they, like, looked at me, like, all of them were like, Jim, this is the best thing we've done all week. Like, you don't need to thank us. This was awesome. So it is. It's important to get these guys in front of our community. They love these guys, and they'll come to practice. Support them then. I mean, we'll have a sold out capacity on game day on February 5th. And it feels like a real game. It doesn't feel like the typical All-Star game. And there is a vibe in the stadium on game day. It feels like a real game. And again, I don't think you get that, you know, it's some other showcases. So no, it is. It's a balance. It's a balance of, but again, everything is steered by doing what's right for these players.
So, you know, we noticed, obviously, the teams are being coached by staffs from the New York Jets and the Detroit Lions. Tell us more about the selection process for which NFL teams end up coaching in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think you know, have tried to use social media over the years to kind of pull back the curtain on our game and the process and scouting in general. And maybe haven't done a good enough job kind of explaining this process that we don't have anything to do with the coaching staffs. So that's the league office handles that, NFL football operations. And it's really simple formula. They just start with the draft order and they work their way down. So I guess the only caveat is that the teams have a full staff in place to come down here to Mobile and coach it. And usually like this year, we got Jacksonville was picking one. They had a coaching turnover, so it goes to the Lions. The Lions accepted. They went to three at Houston. I think Houston now, in hindsight now, they might have been in a little limbo about their coach at the time. So they passed, and then they got to the Jets at four. So that's how that works. And really, guys, it makes so much sense because the NFL is the most popular league, in my belief, because from a fan's perspective, you feel like your team has a chance every year. It's not like Major League Baseball if you're a small market team and you can't spend the dollars. Like, there's little mechanisms for parity in the NFL, whether it's the schedule. You know, like if you finish last in your division, you play all the other, you know, last place division finishers. And Senior Bowl coaching staffs is part of that parity. You know, I mean, teams earn, they truly earn, you know, the ability to coach in the game. And you can see the impact it can make. I just got to go back a couple of years ago to when the Niners were down here. And they went from, I think they picked second, number two or four overall that year. And the very next year, they were in the Super Bowl. So in Miami, that's why it was really cool. Robert Saleh, who's coming down to coach the game this year for the Jets, was the D coordinator on that Niners staff. And he had the T-shirts made up from Mobile to Miami in the post-game celebration after the NFC Championship game. I mean, they flipped it in 1 year. You know, they come down, they get Javon Kinlaw, they get Deebo Samuel, they get Dre Greenlaw, and the next thing you know, they're in the Super Bowl. So it's a smart move by the league. It really is. You know that it's a kind of a built-in thing for parity, and it's one more reason that gives fans hope.
So last year, you guys finally moved from Ladd Peoples to Hancock Whitney on the South Alabama campus. How was that transition to the new venue?
Yeah, it was phenomenal, guys. And I say this because I'll say it this way: it was a bittersweet move in the sense that there was so much history at Ladd Peoples Stadium. You know, you just talk about the coaches that have coached in that stadium in our game: the Don Shula's, the Paul Browns. Bill Belichick. I mean, there's been, you know, and then on the college side, I mean, they used to play Alabama football games in that stadium with Bear Bryant. So, you know, all our 56 Pro Football Hall of Famers played in that stadium. So there was so much history there. So it wasn't an easy move, but it was a move we felt like we had to make. You know, to be out in a brand new state-of-the-art stadium was phenomenal, really. I mean, you've got brand new huge Jumbotron and LED ribbons and a sound system, and Even in practice last year with COVID, you know, we had to limit the number of NFL attendees last year. A lot of media chose not to attend because of COVID. We had this strict bubble. Even on game day, we were at a quarter capacity of the stadium with 6,000 people. And it felt, I mean, there was a vibe to it. It was unbelievable. There was an energy that I've never felt at a Senior Bowl before. So, yeah, we're really happy for our players, the locker rooms, the amenities. It's just a whole new fan experience, a whole new experience for our players, whole new experience for our fans. So just really looking forward to this year, packing that thing out on February 5th and being able to tailgate and have everything come back. It's really an exciting time.
So I noticed that you guys have the Senior Bowl Summit earlier in the week, and it's got one heck of a lineup. Obviously you've got Kirk Herbstreit is moderating, but Nick Saban, Brian Harsin, James Franklin, Steve Sarkisian, Mel Tucker, and a special guest from Barstool. You've got Joey Molinaro. What is that going to be all about?
Yeah, so the goal was really try to grow the week out. So that's why, you know, you come down for practice on Thursday. You know, Friday you've got the Mardi Gras parade and the concert and then game on Saturday. We wanted to have the summit was supposed to be on Thursday night this year, but when the NFL added the 17th game, it kind of pushed. If we wanted to stay in line with the NFL calendar, we had to push back with it. And what that did, what we didn't know, Wednesday of our practice week is National Signing Day. So when I started to call around and try to get some coaches for the summit event, you know, all the guys that I was reaching out to, all their GMs and personnel directors on the college side were like, Jim, signing day is Wednesday. These guys are going to be in the Keys on Thursday. Like, they're not sticking. They're going on vacation. They're not coming to anything in Mobile, Alabama. So we moved it to Tuesday. you talked about the lineup. We're fired up. I mean, obviously down here to have Nick Saban at anything is a big, big deal. If you've been to our practices, you know, Coach Saban comes every year and it's like a spectacle. He comes in with a police escort and, you know, people down here, obviously with all the national titles he's won. I mean, he's a pretty big deal down here. So, so to have him and have Kirk Herbstreit moderating those panels, it's at a historic old theater downtown Mobile, the Sanger Theater, great venue, really, really beautiful, beautiful venue. And these guys are going to be asked questions that they don't normally, you know, they're not normally asked in a press conference setting or a post game interview. I mean, this is going to be fun stuff talking about, you know, their experience as high school players themselves and, you know, advice they would give parents with kids playing sports and just fun, just really fun stuff, getting to know these guys a little more than the coach. So it's going to be a great event. That's going to be a nice addition to the week. I think in future years, hopefully it lands on a Thursday to really build it out, build a long weekend out. But this year on Tuesday, going to be a really fun night.
Absolutely. And we noticed you also have, for entertainment, the Florida A&M Marching 100, one of the, I'm not going to say the best. I mean, there's a lot of competition in the HBCU, you know, band world, but you have one of the premier bands that's going to be playing for all of game day. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're going to be playing halftime. They're going to be doing something post game as well. So no, they're the Marching 100. They're one of the best. I think one of the good things about the move, I just spoke about the calendar move and us shifting back a week. One of the great things was it moved us out of the same weekend of Battle of the Bands. So we've had, you know, we've had a lot of HBCU marching bands do halftime in the past, but there's some of the bigger ones like FAMU. We've never had a chance because they've been part of the Battle of the Bands. So excited about the Rattlers coming over here. We've got a couple guys from FAMU competing in the HBCU Combine event. So it's gonna be awesome. We're really looking forward to those guys. They will add just another level of entertainment and energy to the stadium on game day. We're fired up to get them.
So one more, a couple more questions. I know your time is limited and we don't want to have you stay longer than you can, but I wanted to also ask, tell us about the Senior Bowl caravan. I was reading about that. It's heading out to Pensacola.
Yeah. So it's kind of a new thing. When we got here 4 years ago, we talked about how much this game means to the city of Mobile and the two counties here, Baldwin County and Mobile County. I just saw the coastal area of Mississippi and the panhandle of Florida as two areas that we really needed to try to do a better job of connecting with. And we've made great inroads over in Pensacola, Florida. It's about an hour away. They've got a minor league baseball team over there, the Blue Wahoos, the AA team that we've done a lot of work with their group over there. And really, that's going to be fun. So we couldn't have Community Service Day in Pensacola this year because of some time constraints. We couldn't get a bunch of players over there and back in time. We actually have our player award ceremony on Friday afternoon. And so that's really a fun thing. And what the caravan to Pensacola is going to be tomorrow night, we're just getting a bunch of players. We have, I think, 11 or 12 guys that are training right now for training for our game and training for the combine at a facility over there in Pensacola. So we're going to have them at the University of West Florida. I have kind of a big camp set up for kids from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. We're going to have stations set up. Some of the West Florida football coaches and players will be out there and then a bunch of our guys. So it's just going to be a nice way to connect in their community to really, really bring some cool stuff to those kids in that community that maybe can't get over here for a practice like kids in Mobile can. So it should be a really fun night. We're looking forward to that.
You know, you had mentioned a little bit earlier with the economic impact of this game. SRS shot me over a quick message, and it's a great question that I would love to hear as well. Have y'all ever done a impact study on draftability. In other words, somebody being at the Senior Bowl gave them X amount percentage of being drafted in a higher round, or has some other form of metric to show that the Senior Bowl gets them the visibility that it actually brings them to get them into the NFL.
I think that'd be really difficult to gauge. I mean, we could, you know, we track when we have our calls, like, you know, that's part of the process. We do all our own scouting, but, you know, part of our, the final stage of our process is involving the 32 teams. So we, you know, we get our roster set the way we like it. And then we kind of run them by the teams individually. You know, every year it's more than half the league. Usually that's, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20 teams. And we just go position by position to make sure that we're inviting the players they want. I mean, this is for them. I think it's important to me that we do our own work. And that's why we've built the scouting staff the way we have. And, you know, we have access to the tape like they do. And we go to games every weekend. But we do. We include them. So, you know, these are relationships I've had over 20 years. So, some, you know, most of the teams do tell me specific grades. Like, yeah, Jim, we've got two-thirds on him and a sixth. We have kind of a split. Or, you know, no, we've got, you know, we've had four guys look at him and they all have him in the fourth round. We've got kind of got consensus grades on him. So, but in terms of like, I know how some guys help themselves. Like last year, Quinn Miners came down to the game from Division III Wisconsin Whitewater. And this was really the only time in my three previous years that I departed from bringing guys the league wants to see. Like Quinn was, and I told Quinn when he got down here, a couple teams had seventh round grades on Quinn, but most everyone had priority free agent grades on him. And I just was very convicted that if he had the opportunity down here, he could improve his stock. And he went all the way in the third round. You know, like Terry McLaurin, when Terry McLaurin came down, no team gave me better than a fifth round grade on Terry McLaurin. And he comes down here, he ends up going in the third round. A lot of teams had him in the fifth, sixth. He went in the third, and now in hindsight, that was way too low. He should have been a first round pick. But, you know, no, we do our own metrics in here in terms of, you know, guys that, you know, get drafted and make teams. And, you know, I'll just say over the last 3 years of all the guys invited to the Senior Bowl, 89% of them have made rosters at some point during their rookie years. So, you know, that's a stat that we take a lot of pride in. That even the guys that don't get drafted in our game, they're finding ways to make rosters. So that's so there's things like that that we have to do, you know, especially for recruiting purposes. Like last year, we had 106 players drafted. That was 41% of last year's entire draft class. So that's obviously stuff we're going to use when we send stuff out to the players for the next year. They need to know that, you know, and then the breakdown of rounds and stuff. But in terms of like, overall, like how it helps every player, that's just tough because every team has these players graded differently. So that would be a really tough thing to peg, the draftability part, like you talked about. We know it happens, but to what degree, and if you could really pinpoint it on certain players, you could probably do it by team. If a team opened up their draft board to you and would
sure,
allow that.
Sure.
If you could make that public, if some team in hindsight, yeah, like here's our board from last year, go for it. But outside of that, I think it could be pretty tough.
Sure, absolutely. Now, I know that you had mentioned, you know, there's a lot of in-house stuff. Y'all do your own scouting. You let the NFL come in and kind of dictate the kind of players that they want to see at this type of game. I'm curious to know how much any kind of outside voicing also helps impact those decisions, whether that's media narratives, mock drafts, or any other kind of buzz that happens outside of that internal in-house scouting. Does that play any kind of influence at all on the kind of guys that you try to bring in, or at least influence the decision-making in who you choose to scout?
No, none of the media stuff, guys. I mean, the outside stuff that will have an impact is some, you know, coaches, college coaches, former players, you know, some of our alumni. We worked really hard to stay connected with the guys that play in our game. So, you know, guys will hit me up in the course of a fall, like, hey, Jim, have you checked out my buddy so-and-so, or things like that. And again, it's not so much like the evaluation, but where it helps you is on the, like the character side of it, the football character, the personal character. Like if we're close, like we put a red star on guys right now on their tags on the board. I'm looking at the board right now. Like if it's been identified that this guy's like the ace guy in the program and like everyone's favorite guy, like the program guy, like we'll put a red star on him to kind of denote that. So if we're getting into a situation where we're trying to decide between two players on the board, that can help sway us. We use a lot of different alert systems on our board that kind of indicate certain things about players, whether it's we know they're going to test well in the spring. I mean, that's a big one. You know, when I took over here for Phil Savage, my predecessor, that's one of the things he said. He said, Jim, you got to draft these guys in November and December, not April. So like part of that is you don't know what they're going to do at the combine. So, you know, if we can ever get good, if we can ever get GPS data from schools or weight room data from schools, that helps. But I think there's those things, but you know, and coaches certainly help. You know, if a coach calls and says, hey, Jim, like this kid is, he's this in our program or that, or, you know, you might not love the player, but he is going to blow it out in the combine. Like, just be aware. Like those things can help sometimes, but we really try to stick to our tape evaluations and our live evaluations and let our eyes do the work. And again, there's no ego in it. I know, you know, we're going to get players wrong, but that's why we include the NFL teams as well. Again, these rosters aren't for us, they're for them. So if we have a player graded highly enough to bring him in the game, and it's kind of, we're getting the feedback that, you know, the league's not as high on him as we are, then we'll just move on to someone they like.
Well, we don't want to take up too much of your time, Jim. I mean, how are you doing on time here? We know you were planning to drop in for about 30 minutes, and you've been now here for 40. We don't want to make you feel like we can keep asking questions all night. How are you doing on time?
I'm all right. As long as you got an audience, I don't know who's listening, but as long as you got an audience, we can keep going a little bit here.
Oh, awesome. Well, great. Well, you know, my next question for you was, you know, I know the Senior Bowl kind of lets players show their versatility and practice at different positions. Are we going to see some of that in this upcoming game? I know you teased James Cook at Georgia, the Georgia running back, a few weeks ago. Anybody we should look out for that you're aware of?
Yeah, of course we're going to do that, guys. I mean, that's what this week is all about. It's not about letting them do things that the league already knows they can do. It's about letting them show things that they necessarily don't know they can do. You know, brought up Quinn Miners earlier. The guy never snapped a ball in a competitive period in his entire life. He's a Division III player, and he comes down here and snaps the ball and looks so good at it. That's part of the reason he got drafted in the third round. You know, he embraced the challenge of it. He looked good doing it. So there's a lot of guys. There's some DBs that are going to, you know, some corners are going to play some safety. There's some offensively, like you brought up James Cook. That's a good one. I mean, I think that he's with the Lions staff. I mean, I think they'd be remiss not to let him do some wide receiver stuff and show that. I mean, we had Antonio Gibson down here a couple years ago. I think a lot of people know Antonio Gibson now, but when we got him here, you know, he was a late add, really kind of to our game. We got Antonio late in December. And he was a wide receiver at Memphis. And I really liked how strong he was with the ball in his hands. I thought as a receiver, that's really a watered down position right now for the NFL. I thought he had a better chance as a running back just because the best thing he did was break tackles and run aggressively with the ball. So when we invited him, I just said, Antonio, if you come down, you're going to be a running back, man. Are you willing to do that? And he was, and he came down here and had an unbelievable week, and now look at him. He's one of the better young running backs in the National Football League. So I think having these guys show some flexibility in things that they didn't necessarily show on college tape benefits the players. Why would we bring them down here and ask every single one of them to do exactly what they've done in college? I mean, the teams have seen them do that. So anything we can do to help showcase versatility in a league that really values versatility, we're going to do that.
So obviously you were, as we've said before, you were a scout for many, many years. And I know you've lived in Mobile for a number of years before taking over the role as executive director. As a scout, how would you look? I mean, what was your own personal use of the Senior Bowl when you were working for those NFL programs? I mean, I assume you attended it quite a bit since you were based out of Mobile. How did that fit into your process as a professional scout when that was your primary work?
Yeah, guys, that's a good question. It's going to sound really self-serving now that I'm sitting in the position I am right now, but this was always my No, this was always my favorite week of the year. It really was. I mean, from an evaluative standpoint, I thought it was the best week because it's real football. I think, at least I'll speak to the teams I worked for. I feel like the majority of the mistakes that the teams I worked for made were combine related. We put way too much stock into pro days and combine and what guys were doing in shorts and t-shirts and not pads. So I always love this week to see the best against the best and how they competed. I think there's so many great takeaways from the week. If you just watch how these guys, you know, conduct themselves both on and off the field, I think you can get a really good feel for the individual. So it's a phenomenal week. I think I've been coming here since 1997 or 8, 97 or 98. I've been to every Senior Bowl. And then just it's a great time to connect. It's a great networking week for everybody involved in football, you know, like coaches, scouts, media members. I know that, you know, a lot of guys in the media and the draft Twitter world, I mean, they love coming down here to connect and meet each other on something other than a social platform. So it's really a great week. Like I said, I might be a little biased now, but it's always been my favorite week.
Well, I mean, kind of building on that, what does the Senior Bowl offer to scouts that a typical game does not? I mean, is it the NFL playbook, the access, particular situations?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all that. You're seeing guys, you know, execute NFL playbooks. I think it's, you know, beneficial to our players that they're under these staffs. I think, you know, just from how we take care of our guys, take care of our players, the interview process, you know, we're tweaking things every year. We're not going to stay the same. We're always trying to get better. Like one of the things that came out of last year in COVID, you know, we formed a really strict bubble down here. We pulled off a game in the middle of the pandemic and you know, we tested everybody every day, all the NFL people, all our support staff, all our players. You know, we had over 3,600 tests last year with only one positive. And part of that was the interview process. It wasn't in the, like it's always been, where you could grab any team could grab any player at any point and sit him down for an interview. Everything was scheduled out. They were at night and the team knew when they were going to get the player and the player knew when they were going to get with each team. And, it was overwhelmingly positive feedback from the guys in the NFL. They loved it. You know, it's kind of, I've heard people refer to those as COVID silver linings. And I think that was one for us. So, you know, everything now is going to be, you can't just grab players anymore. Teams aren't allowed to do that. We're going to have five different interview settings during the week, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Monday night, Thursday night, and Friday afternoon. So if you come down here with a plan as a team, you can get every guy in our roster four different times. You could leave Mobile if you really wanted to spend time with Kenny Pickett. You could get Kenny Pickett four different times in Mobile for, you know, over an hour of cumulative time. So we'll keep evolving. We'll keep trying to make this thing better, but yeah, I really do feel like we do everything we can do to put these players in the best position to be successful.
That's fascinating. I mean, it is interesting to see how a lot of business at all levels, obviously Senior Bowl being one of them, just to you know, the solutions we came up with on the fly over the last couple of years of this pandemic that keeps on going. We hope nothing obviously goes wrong. Well, I'm not going to even jinx it. I'm sure everything's going to go great. So
thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, on a lighter note, you know, obviously you see lots of players from all sorts of teams, some of which were rivals. I mean, do you see kind of fun interactions or, you know, any memorable moments you've seen with players that used to be, you know, obviously on sometimes quite heated rival teams interacting during the Senior Bowl week?
Yeah, those are really some of the coolest times, and that's what I appreciate. I appreciate a lot in the role I'm in now. You know, you get to see these guys behind the scenes more than you did just coming down here as a scout. You know, mealtime is great, breakfast, lunch, dinner, seeing these guys, them just hanging out in the lobby. You know, dealing with, like, we've got Panini's a big sponsor now, trading card company, the official trading card company of the National Football League. So they have a really cool setup, a cool activation on the second floor of the hotel, and the guys, like, different photo shoot opportunities. Just cool seeing those guys. I think a couple years ago, We had two guys in the game, Ben Bredesen, an offensive lineman from Michigan, and Jonah Jackson, an offensive lineman from Ohio State, right? Like, who hates each other more than Michigan and Ohio State? And by the end of the week, after the game on Saturday night, we went back to the hotel, and I was at Player Snack that night, late at night, and Jonah Jackson was down there, and he had Ben Bredesen's T-shirt on that said – it was a Michigan T-shirt with Bredesen on the back. And I was like, wait a minute now, what am I seeing here? And Jonah's like, no, man, he's my boy now. So that was pretty cool. And you see kind of those things on a yearly basis, but that's one that really, really stuck out. It's cool seeing those bonds form with those guys. And what's even more special is to, you know, to see these guys that leave Mobile and make a connection here and then either play together and become teammates, you know, as pros. I know a couple years ago when the Raiders were down, they had eight guys on their opening day roster that were on their team here that were down here in Mobile that year. Eight. So that's really cool. And Mike Mayock actually sent me a picture from practice one day they were still in Oakland at the time, I believe. And he sent me a picture with all eight guys. So like stuff like that is really, really cool seeing those relationships form down here.
I am also a little bit curious about the relationships that y'all form as staff members as well, because obviously you are not the sole guy who runs the Senior Bowl, but you've got a bunch of different staff guys who are out there making the Senior Bowl happen. I mean, you look at some of the names that have been involved with the Senior Bowl, including guys like Sylvester Croom, you know, longtime NFL assistant, first black head coach in the SEC. What are some of the staff guys who make this happen?
Well, yeah, Coach, start with Coach Croom. He's been a tremendous mentor to me and friend. I just spoke to him today. I mean, I'm feel so fortunate that I've even met him, let alone, you know, gotten close to him over the last 4 years. He's a tremendous, tremendous man. But yeah, we've got an unbelievable team. I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, we're cranking away here. With all these events, I mean, there's so much work being done in the office right now. The staff, it's really fun to watch the staff pull together this time of year. And this group's been together for a while now. You know, we have a couple staff members that have been on for well over 10 years on the staff. And they do a great job on the football side. Like I brought up, you know, having a scouting staff of guys around the country, really excited to bring those guys. They're all coming in for the HBCU Combine. And for game week, I'm excited to reconnect with those guys. It was fun kind of, you know, last year we had to do it by ourselves here in the office. It was myself and three scouting assistants building the whole board and watching all the tape and doing everything. This year to have an actual football staff back and, you know, with Michael Coe, our new DFO, you know, leading everything up. Like it's the one thing I didn't want to miss, you know, leaving the NFL and leaving working for a team. Of course, people ask if I miss Sundays, and I do. Part of me misses Sundays, and I miss, you know, competing for a Lombardi trophy. But we've got such a great team here. I don't feel like I've left a team. We truly have a team. And again, we've got over 400 committee members here in Mobile. The game means everything down here. So they rally around all the different stuff we do throughout the year, the different events we have and things we do in the community. But this is a big time for them too. I mean, this city's pumped up, and our volunteers are engaged, and it's just a really, really, really rewarding thing to be a part of. It really is.
You know, a logistics question that just popped into my head. You obviously have all these players coming in from around the country to participate in this game. At what point do y'all actually reach out to them and say, "We want you here in the Senior Bowl, here's your invite"? About what time does that actually begin where you start communicating with the players to bring them down for the Senior Bowl?
It's usually about the second week in November. Again, we don't want to do it too early. I think that we owe it to the players to let them play out their college season as long as they can. I mean, at some point we need to start getting our ducks in a row. But, you know, we'll hold some roster spots all the way to December. Because players certainly get better. I think as an evaluator, you learn that over time. There's been a number of guys in the last 3 years here that if you would have asked me in September or early October, would they get an invite, I'd say no. And then by the time we get to Thanksgiving, they look like a different level of player. And we end up bringing them. So the process usually starts in early November. You know, I think we sent him out much before that. I don't think college coaches would take a liking to that. So we usually wait until then, and then you know, we'll keep filling it in until probably early December, and then we're usually pretty much done by the middle of December with our invites.
So you know, for those people coming to Mobile who may not be as familiar with it, there's obviously a great dining scene out there, and I just have to ask about it. I remember I went there several years ago before the pandemic. I tried a place called Noja, right in the historic downtown. It was like N-O-J-A. But what are your recommendations if somebody's heading down there and wants to grab a bite?
Oh, man, you're going to get me in trouble here. I'll have to rattle off the entire downtown downtown restaurant scene.
You can't go all my downtown. That's the answer.
I'm going to get all my downtown neighbors upset with me. But no, you're right. It is. It's a great food town. A lot of great, you know, kind of independent establishments downtown. Really, really good spots. I think, you know, we're kind of known for our seafood down here, being on the Gulf of Mexico. There is a little bit of Cajun influence from over in New Orleans. You know, kind of the French Creole background of Mobile, and that's, you know, the start of Mardi Gras and everything started here. So I think it's a similar city to New Orleans. So I think if people have been to New Orleans and want to kind of envision, you know, I think Mobile is kind of a smaller version of New Orleans in a lot of ways, and that includes the food scene. So yeah, stick around downtown. Anywhere you walk into, you'll probably have a good meal.
So yeah, I noticed also you're giving the each player their own trading card. Is that what I read correctly? The Panini America and Reese's Senior Bowl NFT trading cards for the 2022 event. Is that still going to be happening?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's a cool thing. So Panini's been an awesome partner, guys. Like they really have. There's certain groups, you know, that you can get aligned with that they're, you know, they're kind of a sponsor, but it's a different thing to me than of being a partner. And Panini's been an awesome partner. And last year was really the first year of that, so it was really an awesome thing for our players. They came down. There was a photo shoot when they got in on Sunday, and they left Mobile with their own set of their very first NFL trading card, leaving Mobile, which is, I think, for most guys growing up playing football, that's something you look forward to. So that was really cool. And then this year, I'm not a big expert in the whole NFT world by any stretch, but I know that NFTs are blowing up right now. And Panini approached us earlier in the fall about doing something for all our players. So, yeah, they will, coming out of game week, they will have their own personalized one-of-one NFT, whether they want to gift that to someone in their family, keep it for themselves, sell it, you know, whatever they want to do. I think some of these, I think a Mac Jones one-of-one NFT right now, if Mac had it, he could probably fetch a pretty penny for it. So, yeah, that's something we're excited about this year with Panini doing those NFTs.
That's great. Well, you know, we really appreciate all the time you've spent with us. It's been about 60. We respect your time. Just want to remind everyone the Reese's Senior Bowl is Saturday, February 5th. It's going to be on NFL Network. Obviously, if you're in town, it's at 1:30 Central Time. That's 2:30 p.m. Eastern at the University of South Alabama's Hancock-Whitney Stadium. We really appreciate we really appreciate you joining us. I mean, this was a really fun conversation, and to learn a lot about the background and what goes on as you run the Reese's Senior Bowl. If you guys get a chance, check out the Reese's Senior Bowl website. The Twitter account is interesting. I have to also strongly recommend Jim Nagy's Twitter account. That's what is it? It's Jim Nagy _SB. I remember there's a little more to it than just Jim Nagy, but check that out. And we recommend it. We thank all of you for listening to us. We thank our guest, Jim Nagy, from JD SRS, who, by the way, he had the exact problem you were having, Jim. He got kicked off in the middle of the, Twitter space. They couldn't get back on. So he started just sort of texting us in the middle of all of it. So again, hopefully Twitter will sort that out. So we hear you when you had trouble getting on and had to switch to the Reese's Senior Bowl account. But, you know, on behalf of all of us, thank all of you out there for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your week. This is one of that's going to be like the last stop of college football. So we hope you go and check it out, either in person or on the NFL Network on February 5th. Thank you, everyone. Good night.